I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time to get green. Doug Oster and Jessica Walliser are here. All natural, no pesticides, no artificial ingredients. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, they are ready to talk all of your questions at 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com. Doug Oster, EverybodyGardens.com. Jessica Walliser, both from the Tribune Review. It's the Organic Gardeners. And as we always like to begin by offering you a gift, $25 gift certificate from Sorgles, if you're the 10th caller right now at 412-922-1020. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Doug and Jess, good morning.
Good morning. I am Doug Oster from Everybody Gardens and the Tribune Review.
And I'm horticulturist Jessica Walliser.
And very exciting news.
It is exciting, isn't it?
When the news came, I called Jessica, which is a rarity where we usually text. Yep. What did you think when you got a phone call from me?
Dun, dun, dun. I did not think. Da, 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 da. Right.
And I just said, congratulations.
And I went, for what?
The Organic Gardeners Radio Show won a big national award for GardenCom. It's the organization of garden communicators. And we've won once before.
A long time ago.
But this is very exciting, up against all the big radio shows all across the country. And we won.
Isn't that exciting?
I know.
It's very exciting.
So you were very happy, and I was very happy. We were going back and forth. And then you decided to check your email, and you had another win.
I did. That was an extra surprise because I thought, well, I didn't like that you knew this before I did. So I went rushing to my laptop.
It's the first thing ever I've known before you knew it.
No, I wouldn't say that. You know all the gossip before.
Oh, that's true.
Right. Anyway, so I did check my email, and the website that I run with two other garden communicators called Savvy Gardening, savvygardening.com. We also won a digital media award for best blog.
So, and that's the second time you've won that, right?
That is, yeah. That's the second time we've won that. And then you also got another email in your inbox.
This is very exciting.
It was like our lucky day.
Yes, the Everybody Gardens newsletter that we produce, a team produces it. It's for subscribers of the Seed of the Month Club. Second year in a row that it won. And again, that's very exciting. The team that puts it together, like the graphics guys and the editors, of course, have to work very hard with my copy. And as you know, and it's a beautiful thing. And yeah, it won. So that's just exciting.
Yeah. You know? So triple win for the Organic Gardener
that's
pair.
Cool.
So right. Fist bump.
Yep. Ow.
Ding. Yeah.
Ow.
That's my pruning hand, so I'm strong on that side. So now we get to go. We get to go to the Society of the International Garden Communicators, their annual symposium, which will be in Salt Lake City this September, and we get to go to see now we've won in these categories. Now they have bigger, broader awards, so they take all of the winners in each category, and then they give these big awards within larger categories. So we'll be going to the I don't know if not really a ceremony, but the dinner.
Well, it's a ceremony.
Award,
they
award
give you
dinner.
Your award.
Awards
and then
dinner.
Then you see if you won the big best of show, the gold.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward
awesome.
To it.
That's awesome. What's going on in the garden?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you asked me this off air, and I was like, what's going on in the garden? You know, I haven't had much time to be out in the garden lately, but John and I were sitting on our little porch swing out on the back porch the other day, and we could hear there were little baby wrens in one of our nest boxes, and we could hear every time the mama or dad bird returned with something for them to eat, they would just all go crazy and chirp, chirp, chirp. And then we were watching the mom and dad bird, and they were flying to and from the vegetable garden for like an hour in the evening. And I kind of peeked over the fence to see what they were doing, and they were hopping on the cabbage and the broccoli plants, picking off the little green worms, you know, the cabbage worm caterpillars, and flying them back to the nest to feed their baby. So, you know, that's what, for me, that is a reason to never spray my cabbage or broccoli plants, even with an organic product, because if I had sprayed anything on there, organic or otherwise, that bird would have been taking either they wouldn't be have that resource for food, or the bird would be taking a contaminated caterpillar back to the nest, which just I would never want that to happen. And so now I have naturally pest-free cabbage and broccoli, and we have three of these birdhouses up, and there's a chickadee in on the other side of the garden that has a nest there. And Dr. Tallamy, in his book, he notes that each chickadee brood requires 9,000 caterpillars to raise that one single brood of chicks to fledgling stage. 9,000 caterpillars. So I'm grateful that I have occasional bugs in my garden because they're feeding the birds, which are, you know, helping the overall ecosystem. And it's pretty cool to see.
Have you seen around any of the cicada damage? Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah. We have it at our house.
So, you know, I've been getting a lot of questions about that. Mm-hmm. Explain what that looks like, because I saw it out at the Pittsburgh Botanic Garden.
Yes.
They had, they had them bad out there. Had them.
Yeah.
And people were really freaked out about their trees.
Sure. And if it's a big tree, I mean, it's really clear to see on the oaks in particular. It's sort of like the ends of the twigs are brown. Instead of being green leaves, those leaves have turned brown. At my house, we have it on a dogwood, a wolfside dogwood, and lots of our larger trees, which I'm not worried about at all. The smaller trees, you know, we have three small trees in the front yard. We have a black gum and a beech tree and a young Japanese snowbell. And because those trees are younger, I'm a little more worried about them. But it's real easy right now to tell which stems are not going to make it and which are, because the ones that are not going to make it have turned brown. And so I've just been going out, if they're kind of broken off, and just pruning them off. I wouldn't do that on an oak tree, because you don't want to open up that a wound for the beetle that spreads the oak wilt. But on other trees, you can either do it now, or you can wait if you want until the fall or winter to go ahead and prune off any broken or really dead, damaged stems.
And boy, lots of fungal diseases. Again, we were talking before we started. In my garden, I can't believe that I don't have it bad on my tomatoes. I don't know why. Every year I've had it bad on my tomatoes, but they look great this year. I have a new trellising contraption that a guy put in the garden. Maybe that's it. But on the other sides where I usually have them growing up, I haven't seen much early blight or septoria leaf spot at all for some reason. I don't know why.
I've got both. On the just the lower leaves of the plant, so I've been trying to keep them cleaned up and kind of pinch off any damaged leaves. But I mean, I've got some nice big tomatoes on there. They're not ripe yet, but they're producing well. They're just starting to see those splotchy leaves.
Squirrels or chipmunks are getting one part of the tomato garden and just taking green tomatoes off and taking a little nibble out of them and just leaving them. You know, I had a bunch of early girls, like big early girls that were on there, and I'd picked some already.
That happened to my cherry bomb peppers. There was one pepper that was taken off of the plant, and it had a big tooth mark in it. But the whatever it was, groundhog or whatever, never actually ate it because it must have got burned, and it hasn't been back since. I was like, of all the peppers for them to take a bite out of, that was a good one.
Good.
Because it just, the teeth marks were in there, but never took a crunch because, it must have not liked what it got there.
All right, folks, what you need to do is get on the line, get your questions in. All of our lines are available, 866-391-1020. And congratulations to Janet from Baden, winner of that gift certificate from Sorgles.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
All right, join me next Saturday at Plumline Nursery, one of our great sponsors, at their Customer Appreciation Day. And I don't know how many years I've been going out there for Customer Appreciation Day. This is probably my 10th year out there. Next Saturday, 11 a.m., I'm going to be talking about native plants and shrubs. And that is a cool place. And lots of bargains. You know how much I love bargains. So Plumline Nursery out in Murraysville next Saturday, 11 a.m.
All right, here we go. Let's start off with George in Butler for Doug and Jess on the Organic Gardeners. Hey, George, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you? What's on your mind?
Hey, I have this here strange phenomenon. I just have never seen it here. Can't say that it's been every year, but for 40 years after I've had a garden, the tomato plants that I put in last year, someone had given me these heirloom tomato plants. They were just phenomenal, ugly looking tomatoes, but the best tasting tomatoes I've ever had. So I took the seeds and started my own plants this year. Got the plants in, and there's a few of the plants I've never seen this look to them, that it's almost like the leaves and the potential blossoms that are like curled up, almost like the way a fern unwinds. Any idea what's going on?
I have seen a lot of this, just a couple different things. Leaf curl, or leaf roll, but also somebody sent me some pictures, which I think was leaf curl virus.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of questions about this, and lots of tomatoes looking this way out there.
Is it mostly on the new growth that is doing that versus the leaves at the bottom of the plant?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it's mostly on the new growth.
Yeah.
And a couple of the plants, you look at them and you say, how the hell are they even surviving after the greenery that should be open for photosynthesis, that they're just sitting there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, it could be a leaf curl virus. It could also be a potential herbicide damage. Do you use on the lawn, around your lawn, or in the grass clippings, do you mulch with them? Anything that might have been treated with an herbicide?
So I decided this year to do an above-ground garden to slow me. The lawn does get treated with an herbicide, but the guy who would do it, that there would have to be really kind of stupid to get that thing out close.
Well, so. Sometimes though, what happens, and this actually, and again, without like having a tissue sample sent to a diagnostic laboratory, a lot of times something like leaf curl, a viral leaf curl and a herbicide damage can look alike. But what is surprising sometimes for people when they have an herbicide, especially one that's based on 2,4-D, which is like a weed in feed, or the spray that they, the companies will come with a big truck and they'll spray that herbicide on your lawn to kill the weeds. A lot of times if they're using a liquid spray, if they're not doing it on a real calm, quiet day, there can be quite a lot of drift that can happen and can get into our flower and vegetable beds. Or if they're using like a granular and they're, pushing the drop spreader along, that kind of can throw it out into the garden. We can also, it moves with water as well. So sometimes it gets into the garden that way. So I always tell people, obviously, I, as an organic gardener, I prefer you didn't use that. But if you do, you have to be really careful about the days that it's applied and how close you apply it to the garden, because that really can affect, and it can last for quite a long time as well in the soil.
The other thing that I saw, and one of those that was asking me this question, we finally figured out black walnut tree. They have a black walnut tree close. So, George, any black walnuts around?
Oh, yeah, I do, but it's not real close, but I would give a guesstimate that it's 30 feet away.
That's probably too far away to see much juglone issues.
So we're trying to guess and figure things out for you.
I'll tell you what I would recommend. If you want to go through the effort of really figuring out exactly what it is, Penn State University does have a plant disease diagnostic clinic, and you can send a sample of the tissue to them. It doesn't cost anything to do it. So you can just go online and just, search or Google the term Penn State Plant Diagnostic Clinic, and it'll tell you how to send in your sample, where to send it to. And it's really a way to get an absolute diagnosis, especially when we're talking about viral diseases, which are really hard to diagnose, especially just from hearing about a plant. So that would be a way that would give you a definitive answer on whether or not at least it was that virus.
Well, I appreciate that, because I guess it could be smart. I mean, so the plant croaks this year, but... what's the point of putting it in again if it's going to come
right
back?
Right, and some viruses are transferred seed to seed, via the seeds from generation to generation. Most are not. A lot of them are transferred by, little sucking insects like aphids and things like that. I don't know what the vector system is for that particular virus, but that would be something that would probably come back in that diagnostic. They'd probably tell you more information about it if that did come back positive.
And George, if you figure things out, let us know. Give us a call back.
All right, let's go to Marianne up next for Doug and Jess. Hey, Marianne.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you. I have a question about Japanese beetles in a vegetable garden. Some friends kindly gave me a plot at the end of their garden, but before I could get in and plant, it was so wet. You know, it grew up into what looked like nice cover crops. So I thought, well, I'll just let it go and later on cut it down and put in fall cover crops. And I had started taking out some little sections and putting in buckwheat and stuff. But then last weekend, I was over and I have this real tall, I don't know what it looks like, millet or something. And also, I hadn't noticed before, there was a lot of Pennsylvania smartweed in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that had attracted Japanese beetles.
Mm-hmm.
So they were in there eating and mating. And I kind of panicked because it's not my land and I didn't want to, you know, be attracting them to their garden. So I started cutting down all that tall grass and stuff. But I didn't know, you know, to take take away their food. Should we till that up then to try to kill any, like, eggs or larvae in there?
No, they don't really lay eggs in that type of environment. They lay in turf grass. So they will lay their eggs in the lawn, not in weedy patches like that. And there's not much you can do about that. If it's in their grass, they're, you know, that's going to have to be something they deal with. I think personally, like, your bigger problem in that situation, if you're letting that crop that looks like millet and smartweed, if you're letting it go to seed, you're going to have a major weed issue in there next year. So the bigger reason to cut all that down and clean it out of there is simply to just limit your seed bank and limit the number of seeds that you're going to have for next year. Same with that buckwheat. Like, buckwheat is an exceptional cover crop, but don't let it go to flower and drop seed. Because you're going to have to mow it down before then, or you are going to have a crazy buckwheat problem in that garden.
Okay. And I also wondered, I had read that what you said about the turf grass, since that had kind of grown up into this solid mass of these nice grains or grasses, would the insects consider that like turf in there, or does it have to have like the grass cover?
No, they like a flat, really tightly mowed lawn, because it's easy for the females to get down in there to access the soil to lay their eggs, because they lay them at or just below the soil surface. So they like that neatly trimmed lawn environment. I really think the Japanese beetles are just there to feed on the smartweed. I don't think that you're doing, you know, any harm to that garden other than the fact that you're contributing possible weed seeds to it. But I wouldn't worry too much about the Japanese beetles.
All right. Thank you for the call. Listen, we are looking for more callers right now. We've only got Rich and Crafton. Plenty of room for you to join Doug and Jess right now at 866-391-1020.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
Ah, yes, they are, and they're very busy via the phone lines. We'll get to those calls in just a moment. But right now, what do you say you make yourself the 10th caller? Wouldn't that be a great gift for you gardeners this morning? Because if you dial 412-922-1020 and you're caller number 10, you win a $25 gift certificate from Janoski's in Clinton. So once again, time to get back to the phones for Doug and Jess, and let's say hi to Rich in Crafton. Hey, Rich, how you doing? Welcome to KDKA Radio.
Hey, good morning, Rob and guys. First of all, I want to know if you guys ever had those cinnamon rolls at Sorgel's on Saturday. They are so good.
Indeed, I have. And yes, I agree with that.
And my next question, I've only seen one stink bug and haven't seen any cicadas. Am I lucky here in Crafton? Are they all done with the cicada ambush, or is it a delayed thingy with all the rain we had? I was just curious.
Yeah, it's funny because how far do you think we live apart where the crow flies?
I don't know, 15-minute drive, so
yeah.
Not far.
And I haven't had any.
Yep.
No, and haven't seen a stink bug, except for inside,
mm-hmm.
in a long time, where one year I was knocking them off pepper plants four times a day,
mm-hmm.
you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I see spiders by my screen door going out the back, but I've only seen one stink bug on the screen, and I haven't seen any cicadas in the yard or anywhere. We got a lot of trees and stuff.
Yeah, so the cicadas...
Right behind the Crafting Shopping Center.
Yeah, I mean, the cicadas are very regional. The different broods of this particular species of cicada are in sort of like pockets, like geographical pockets. And this particular brood, which I think was brood 8, was western Allegheny County and then into Beaver County. So it really is sort of an isolated range. And then other years will be other broods of this particular species. So this one was just sort of the pocket that I sat in, but Doug's wasn't. So you are going to probably, Doug, have them another year that I don't have them. And as for the stink bugs, I mean, nobody's complaining about not having any stink bugs. I haven't really seen any in my garden this year. For me, and in the discussions that I've heard with like Dr. Raup, who's an entomologist at the University of Maryland, and I've just sort of been hearing on the circuit that now that there's so many predators that are eating them, birds in particular, that it has kind of helped stabilize their population. So it's not just such a massive amount of them because they are having some natural predation take place. So, you know, is it going to get rid of them? No, definitely not. But we also had a really cold winter, which helps with that as well.
And the cold winter, I have not seen hardly any in my trees, hemlock woolly adelgid.
Oh, that's good.
Which, I've had a bad problem with. You know, I've got lots of hemlocks in there. Is it too early to start talking spotted lanternfly?
Definitely not too early. I mean, my parents are out in Berks County, and when I was out there to visit them, you know, they were in my mom's vegetable garden. They live right down the road from a vineyard, and the vineyard was really having to spray a lot because of spotted lanternflies. So, you know, I think that this year nobody has reported seeing them, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're here by next year. And they're really crazy looking little things as nymphs and then also as adults.
I've seen, and these aren't locally, but I've had people send me pictures of the nymphs. I was technically third instar, and I was looking at those going in line. I'm like, yes, that's what it is.
And, yeah, yep.
Another devastating pest coming our way, and we can only cross our fingers that just like the stink bugs that eventually nature figures it out. But oh, I'm telling you what.
Yeah.
Not one thing, it's another.
That's exactly right.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We've got about a minute before we've got to get to an Open Championship update. Let me kind of just get you caught up a little bit as far as what we're going to be doing the rest of today on KDK Radio. And by the way, congratulations to Sharon of Wexford, winner of that gift certificate, to Janoski's.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
Time for Mrs. Know-It-All. She's a grower, horticulturist, and our garden goddess. Good morning, Denise. How are you?
I'm good. My goals today are take a nap, go in the pool, take a nap. I'm not working outside today.
You've officially given up on this weather.
No, I haven't given up. It's going to be nice the rest of this week, and I'll be outside. You know, you talked about we were both at Cultivate last week, and part of this week, and I came home literally to a jungle. My tomatoes are taller than me, and I'm not short.
When I came home, the air conditioning stopped working in my truck, so.
That's never good. Yeah. But like you, I'm not seeing early blight, which is unusual. I always have it, and because my garden isn't that big, rotation is always really hard for me, so I'm really shocked that I don't have it. And the lady that called about the Pennsylvania smartweed that she has in her garden, so a lot of people don't know what it looks like. So it's about, I'd say, 8 to 10 inches tall, and it has tiny little pink flowers that are kind of hard almost like a seed, and you'll see it in roadsides. It is invasive, so with weeds, it's always important to really get those seed heads up because it is an annual and it will reproduce by seed. And she also may have, when she was talking about some of the grasses, because we're getting in that time of year, I'm starting to see foxtail, which is a taller grass. You'll see it along roadsides. It's really invasive. It's really hard to control. So, you know, anytime you see a weed that's grassy looking in your garden or in some place where you don't want it, pull it out as soon as possible. You do not want to let it go to seed because a lot of seeds, including crabgrass, can be viable for, I hate to say this, 40 years.
Ugh. The grassy weeds are so much harder to eradicate than so many of the other annual weeds. With smartweed, it's real easy to pull it up, and the grasses sometimes can get really entrenched in the soil. So always better to get them out when they're young. Thank you so much, Mrs. Know-It-All, for the great advice.
So is the grass always greener on it?
Oh, ba-dum-bump.
Let's go to Jeanette, Southside, for Doug and Jess. Hey, Jeanette.
Hey. Hi. Good morning. Love the show.
Thank you.
I have two questions this morning. One is, I have lilac bush in the yard, and I guess I didn't put a lot of thought into where to plant it. So I always have to trim it so it never blooms. But I have someone at work that wants it. Is it okay to transfer this? Is it okay to dig it up and replant it somewhere else?
Sure. I wouldn't do it this time of year, though. This is like the most stressful time to be doing that. I would wait until like the leaves fall off of it very late this fall. Make sure you get a nice big root ball on it, and that's the time of year to do it.
Perfect. Thank you. And my second question is, I have a beautiful Japanese maple that I've never trimmed, but it's getting big, and I wanted to trim it up. Can I do that now, or how do I do this?
Yeah. I mean, it's not the best time when plants are under stress like this.
Jeanette, it sounds like you're planting your stuff too close to the house.
No, this is farther down, but it's getting big fast, and I just wanted to shape it into just...
Be careful when you're shaping it. Really take your time.
Okay.
One cut at a time. Step back. Take a look. Because, you know, on their own, they have a real beautiful shape. And... You could go crazy on it, and it wouldn't be in your way, or it'd be smaller, but it might not have that same beautiful shape.
Yeah, pruning is something it can really be a beautiful art form if you do it correctly. If you do it incorrectly, it can really be a hack job. So since Japanese maples have such a beautiful form, natural form, but actually, I don't think you should do it right now. I think it's too hot and it's going to stress it out. At this point, I would wait until the weather cools, maybe early September. I think you're going to be better off doing that.
You don't want to do much when it's like this weather.
Yeah.
When it's like this weather, I'm glad I got my beans in when I did, and
yeah,
I put some peppers in late. But you know, this is kind of like a holding pattern for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I actually put a whole layer of new mulch on the vegetable garden before this heat started.
All right, let's go to Jim, Moon Township. Hey, Jim, welcome to KDK Radio. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. I've had a great success with my tomatoes and everything in my garden for the last, I can't remember how many years. This year, for some reason, my tomatoes are struggling. My peas, cucumbers, peppers are going crazy. But something's going on with my tomatoes, and I just don't know. They're tall, but just not flourishing. I start everything from seed. If you got any answers.
Well, first of all, it's been a really crazy year in terms of the rain that we've had. And in some cases, in the spring, we also had pretty cool weather that lasted a really long time.
And you're not alone. I was out yesterday speaking at Osterlings in Butler, and I had lots of people coming in, and it was the same sort of thing. Like, look, my zucchini's going crazy, but my tomatoes just aren't doing it. And then in my situation, I'm having a great tomato year. It's just, you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a weird year.
You think about change. Next year, I'm going to change positions on everything. My garlic flourished like crazy. I have these pepinets, cucumbers that are going wild.
Great.
You know, with tomatoes and garlic, those are two of the ones we definitely really want to change spots. And we're always talking about improving the soil so that the plants have everything they need. Are you getting any blossoms, any tomatoes on those?
Oh, yeah, I have some tomatoes. They just aren't looking like they usually look. Look like they're just struggling.
Yeah,
I might, when things cool off, if it was me, I might think about giving them some liquid organic fertilizer. What are your thoughts on that, Jess?
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's, you know, with all this rain that we've been having, if you fertilized or anything in the spring, all that's probably pretty much leached out by now. So maybe another addition of compost or some liquid organic fertilizer on there would give them a little bit of boost. Just don't choose anything that's high in nitrogen. You want a fertilizer that's middle number is slightly higher, because that's the phosphorus, and that's what's going to help promote good fruit and flower production. Too much nitrogen makes too much green.
That's a big help.
Yep.
That's a big help. I certainly appreciate both of you.
And mulch, too. You know, I definitely, for tomatoes, that mulch really helps, keeping that soil evenly moist. You know, we've had also a lot of blossom end rot this year. And you know what?
Which is weird because we've had so much rain.
We're always talking about the rain and the watering for tomatoes. And for the first time in 10 years, I had an early tomato, early girl, that had blossom end rot on the bottom.
Really?
And I'm...
In a container?
No. In the ground where all these tomatoes are doing great. They're
They're
seriously 8 feet tall, maybe, and filled with fruit and mulched like crazy. We've had all this rain. And so... Sometimes sometimes gardening, no matter how much you know, Mother Nature can throw you a curveball.
She's just trying to keep you on your toes and put you in your place.
My toes to pick the tomatoes. They're so tall. been a pretty good season, though, I think.
It has been for me, yeah. I mean, things
raised
do seem...
bed gardeners, you know, this is the perfect thing for raised bed gardeners.
Yeah, it really is. And it's been, you know, in the flower garden, it also has been a pretty incredible year. A lot of powdery mildew and those types of issues in the flower garden. But for the most part, things have been just colorful and florific and beautiful.
Florific. Remember, the organic gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden.
And a safer place to live.
And the crowd goes wild.
Floriferic. What was it?
Floriferous.
Said florific.
Floriferous. Well, florific, it's been a florific year. Yeah, filled with flowers. Terrific and flower-filled.